QAnon, COVID, government overreach. Misinformation is dangerous and it's everywhere. But what happens when it gets into the church? What should we do? Speak up or keep silent? We look into the nuances of the issue with today's episode of The Furtive American. Hello everyone, welcome again to The Furtive American. I am The Furtive American, and on today's episode, we're looking at misinformation and untruths. This is something that we can find everywhere. And sadly, unfortunately, we're seeing this even in churches, even in the church. And I've had personal experience with this in church, unfortunately. And really, the danger of misinformation that I've seen so far is that it can cause people to do things that are really ill-advised. We're seeing examples of this happening all around the world, whether it be due to COVID or something else. We're seeing people do really inadvisable things. Last year, we saw in the place that I live in a woman who was advised to take ivermectin to prevent COVID, and she ended up with a medical emergency. She ended up in the hospital because the dosage wasn't correct, and she ended up injuring herself. So we're not here to discuss whether or not ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine are suitable treatments for COVID. I'm going to leave that to the medical experts to get more information about such treatments. But we can see that misinformation can lead to personal injury. It can lead to relationships being strained, and it can lead to unnecessary rifts in the church. And really, what sparked this thought, what sparked this whole line of inquiry, I was in my car the other day and I was listening to the BBC World Service, and there was a radio show called The Coming Storm by Gabriel Gatehouse, and I was listening to episode 2. The Coming Storm is a series about QAnon and their conspiracy theories, and episode 2, let me just make sure I get the title here correct. Episode 2 was called Sex, Lies, and a Videotape. And the bit of the episode that I heard was examining sort of the forerunners of QAnon, not really QAnon itself, but the forerunners of QAnon. And this was in the Clinton days. And there was a huge far-right campaign, smear campaign against the Clintons. And again, I'm not here to discuss politics or whether or not they did a good job, but that was what it was about. And the segment which I was listening to examined where conspiracy theories about the Clintons and about different things spread within churches in the U.S. I believe it was Jerry Falwell who helped to promote some of these conspiracy theories about the Clintons, according to the program. Now, I haven't had time to fact check everything on the program, but it did spark a thought within me where I'm really concerned about untruths and misinformation within the church. And again, if you haven't heard episode 1 of this show, I come from an independent fundamental Baptist church background, so I'm not really talking about like mega church sort of things. We've seen some egregious things happen there before, but I'm really talking about small-time churches and the issue of untruths and misinformation is not absent from such churches. As much as a big hallmark of these churches, one of the things that they would tout very greatly is a strict adherence to the Word of God, right? And I believe for the most part fundamental Baptist churches do try their best. But that doesn't mean that there aren't any issues and there are no problems. There certainly are. And what I've seen in my past experiences within the church are mistruths and unsubstantiated allegations being spoken over the pulpit. Preaching is an authoritative process. You are listening to someone who is supposed to be an authority on the things of the Word of God and supposed to be an example of how we ought to live our faith. So whenever we listen to preaching, even in bits that aren't directly quoted from the Bible or aren't directly expositing the Bible, it is taken as an authoritative statement about things. And when a preacher gets something of the secular world wrong, people are going to take it as a truth. And to me, that's really scary because if you put something that's wrong, you are going to have a very strong influence over the congregation. It may be a small one, but it is still people. And that has the potential to spread. So things I've heard in the past were phrases like, you know, televisions are the shrine of the devil, which I don't believe, or violent computer games cause violent behavior. And we know from multiple peer-reviewed studies today over a long period of time that that's just simply not the case. You cannot categorically say that violent computer games cause violence or that all computer games are a waste of time. I don't believe that's true. I personally don't play that many computer games. I do like flight sims, but I'm not a gamer by any modern standard. Other things that I've heard were things like the media having some sort of an agenda against Christians specifically and nobody else. I don't think that's true. I mean, we all know that the media has bias. Every media outlet has bias. I mean, some of them try to be objective, but every media outlet has bias because every one of us has bias, right? So I don't think most media outlets today are singling out Christians per se. Some of y'all might think I'm naive, but I honestly don't think that they're singling out Christians per se. I just think that a lot of times they have a particular viewpoint on things, and that clashes with especially conservative Christian viewpoints. So mistruths and unsubstantiated allegations being spread over the pulpit, those are some of the things that I've heard. Things like inaccurate information being touted as fact. And this isn't, well, this, some people might not find this so egregious, but for a nerd like me, it's like, hey, that's not quite right. Because one thing I heard over the pulpit was a preacher trying to defend intelligent design and creationism. And he said, he quoted the second law of thermodynamics. And he said that was, matter cannot be created or destroyed, which isn't accurate at all. And if you're a physicist, you would probably say that's completely wrong. But that was, you know, touted as a fact. And the sad thing for me was when I tried to speak up about some of these matters, it was really difficult because trying to talk about these things, trying to say to a preacher, hey, I don't think you got that quite right, was deemed as some sort of insubordination, or at least I felt it was, trying to talk about it. And for the most part, it was suppressed, at least to my memory, it was suppressed. Again, this is all being said in hindsight, so I recognize that this may not be accurate, but that's what I remember. It was very painful to go through. I have very vivid memories about what happened, but you know, I have to admit that these are just memories and they may not be actually what happened. Whatever the case, I do remember quite vividly that that whenever I did try to speak up about something that was not right, something that was false, either that was said over the pulpit or not, there was high levels of friction. There was an unwillingness to address the issue at hand, and generally it was suppressed. Either it was because they felt that they weren't, you know, such preachers felt that they weren't wrong, or that for whatever case they were justified in what they were saying, or they felt it wasn't important enough to have to address. And that's, I mean, those were past experiences, but even recently, you know, I've seen on social media, especially with Americans, I'm really sad to say, but especially with Americans, I see a lot of misinformation being spread about politics, about things like COVID, and the comments can get quite rabid. Most of the time, I try not to participate in these sorts of conversations, but there was once where I tried to clarify, like, hey, you know, what do you mean? And this was with regards to U.S. politics. This was during the time where Biden was just inaugurated. And I was trying to clarify with this particular person online, and this person was basically saying that this person was replying to a comment in which the other person was hoping that this would finally be a time for healing for the states, and this person was saying, no, that's impossible because of Biden and because he's a Democrat and stuff like that. And I was basically saying, hey, you know, the Bible does say to honor the king. How does this stack up? I don't quite see it as aligning with what the Bible says. And this particular person was, on her profile, she was putting herself out to be a very strong Bible-believing Christian. And I was just asking, you know, I don't get it, because you say you're a strong Bible-believing Christian. We are told to honor the king, honor the government, to submit ourselves to every ordinance of men, you know, and I couldn't quite see how. And the response that I got, this wasn't so rabid, but it was kind of off-putting, was, you don't know what you're talking about because you're an outsider. And I really didn't get it, because I wasn't talking about particular views. I was saying, how do you align your views with what the Bible says, given that you say you're a Bible-believing Christian? I don't quite get it, but I was sort of put off. And other parts of that conversation, and many others, which I've observed, have gotten very contentious and very hurtful, I would think. I certainly would not have expected words like that to come out of people who claim to be conservative Christians. And this is, you know, this is not something that I've observed on social media only recently. I've observed this on social media for a long time, whether it is dealing with a conservative government or a liberal government, it doesn't matter. The other side, they'll call themselves Christians and they'll call themselves conservative, and their words can be very divisive. And sometimes the things that they say, I know I've kind of gone off on rabbit trail here, but sometimes the things that they say are just not true. And I was deeply affected and saddened by all of this, and I continue to remain deeply saddened by all of this, especially with the fact that sometimes these sorts of things are going out over the pulpit. They are, and especially over the past 2 years because of COVID, not only is it going out over the pulpit or being recorded, it's going out live over social media, over the internet. And the audiences are much bigger than what they used to be. And it's scary because, you know, these untruths are being spread by people who are authority figures and whom people would readily believe. And so it's saddening. I don't really know what I can do personally, because Yeah, I haven't really met someone from an independent fundamental Baptist church who is in leadership who is willing to say, hey, let's look at what I said. Let's look at how true it is, how untrue it is. Let's see whether or not it's accurate. And if it's not, I'll apologize for it. I think I've met only probably one. But because of different things that happened within the church, he is no longer preaching there today. And it's just saddening for me, as someone who is trying really hard to live life according to what the Bible says, to see this sort of behavior happening in the church. And there's little wonder in my mind why non-believers, why non-Christians look at us Christians sometimes and go, hey, y'all are a bunch of crazies. Because you look at Christians sharing all sorts of weird and wonderful things about COVID. I can't tell you how many times I've been sent messages about COVID and what you should do and what you should not do. Drink hot water, drink tea. And they may be well-meaning. They may sometimes, especially when it comes to politics, they may not be so well-meaning. But it's untruth. It's not substantiated, and it's saddening because I believe that lying, spreading any form of untruth, is unrighteous. It's not something that pleases God, first of all. In Exodus 20, verse 16, if you're of the Christian faith, lying to any extent, whether it's a white lie or any other colored lie, is unrighteous. And any form of untruths, the specific phrasing in the King James Bible is false witness, right? Is unrighteous. God is not pleased with that. On a different level with man, with our fellow man, our testimony is important in Philippians 2:15. And our testimony is already so badly battered by bad actors in the Christian faith. We don't need Bible-believing Christians to add on to that, to further spread untruths and lies about different things. No matter how sensational it seems, no matter how much the untruth and the lie seems to align with something we read in the scripture, especially when it comes to things like the revelations and the end times and things like that, some things that happen in the world today seem to align with those events. And so some people kind of, freak out about it. And they start thinking, oh no, I have to tell all my Christian friends about this thing and to be careful so that we don't become a part of the unsaved people. I don't really understand how that works, but because I believe that once you are saved, you're always saved. You cannot unsave yourself. But I've seen people forward such things, spread such things without first checking out whether or not they are really factually accurate. And our testimony is important, and it just is taking a beating because of people spreading untruths such as these. So, especially in our modern society where we are being bombarded by information. We're being hit on all sides, thick and fast, with information. We need to, as Christians, all the more, if we want to be lights, I firmly believe we need to ensure that what we are saying is true and accurate. If something is sensational, if something is scary, that doesn't automatically mean that we can just start sharing that with everyone. That's what I firmly believe. And if we're not sure, if we cannot verify that this is true with multiple sources, which, by the way, is a biblical principle in and of itself, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. If we cannot get corroboration from other sources, then we ought not to be sharing such things. Because we need to consider the effect our words and actions have on others. That's in Romans 14:13. Are we putting a stumbling block in front of other people who are trying to either live their faith and we're telling them things that are untrue, that are limiting their freedoms to live their faith? Or are we putting stumbling blocks before our non-Christian, our non-believing friends and family who look at that and go, hey, that's just stupid. That's just mindless. Why would I want any part of that? And I think we cannot be motivated by fear when we see a news article or some WhatsApp message or anything put to us that is fearful, that induces fear in our lives. We cannot then just take that and start spreading it all around immediately, because that is exactly how people get hurt with incorrect, inaccurate information. We have to be ready to stand for truth, whatever that truth is. And if what we believe has been shown to be false, I strongly believe that we need to be willing to put it aside. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a message we just received or if it's a long-held belief. If it's not right, if it's untrue, if it's wrong, we need to put it aside. That's something I strongly believe in. And I've personally changed several of my beliefs, several of my positions on certain things, because I couldn't find evidence to back up what I used to believe in. And it's scary. The backfire effect is very real. When you're being confronted with something that when you're being confronted with someone telling you that, hey, you didn't, what you said there was not right, the urge to fight back is very real, and I get that. But if we don't suppress that urge, if we just go along with it, then we will be perpetuating misinformation, which is dangerous. And so tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think we can do about this, because it's very concerning, especially when it happens in a place where you believe that people have your best interests at heart, or at least they claim that they do, where it's supposed to be a safe place, a nurturing place. And when you see such things happening in places like that, as I have, it's really concerning. So let me know what you think. Let me know what experiences you may have had with misinformation and untruths in the church. Write to me at Furtive American on Twitter. And hopefully, with us moving in the shadows, we can curb the spread of misinformation. We can prevent more people getting hurt, both inside and outside of the church. I certainly believe we can make a difference, and I hope you do too. Well, once again, thank you for joining me here on the Furtive American today. And until we meet again, goodbye.